This week on the Spooky Dudes podcast, we go camping with Jason, eat way too much junk food, and Corey wishes in one hand while he takes a dump in the other. Stick around.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When shadows fall and spirits howl, zombies stalk and madmen prowl. Monsters lurk and victims shiver. Thrills and chills they will deliver. Arise from your graves and get in the mood. It's time to join the Spooky Dudes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of the Spooky Dudes podcast. We're happy to be back. And by we, I mean Eric Williams.
Hello, friends.
And me, Corey Keelan. Yep. Pretty low-key this evening. Just, you know, sitting around, just scarfing down food. And we got a ravenous hunger that just can't be satiated by normal amounts of calories. Because we're talking about Critters, the new binge tonight. That would be the new series on Shudder. Was it six or eight?
Eight, I believe.
It's like really short episodes. They are like 10 minutes.
They're essentially the same format as a web episode, which was surprising to me.
Yeah.
If you take off the intro and the credits, you could watch all eight, basically the entire season one, maybe 60, 70 minutes.
Yep. It felt about that long. And we'll get to that. But first up, we're gonna talk about some horror news, guys. We did a little powwow before the show, figured out some stuff we wanted to talk about. And first up, I guess we'll go ahead and mention, because it's coming up real soon, the Alien, the Ridley Scott Alien, 40th anniversary is coming up.
Which, April 26, 2019. And if you're curious to see all the fun stuff, that's usually a unofficial holiday called LV-426 Day. It's with the planet aliens too. So it's just follow the hashtag and you'll find all the cool stuff associated with that.
And in honor of that, they're doing a 4K re-release. We discussed it before the show. I think both of us have collectively purchased the first Alien film at least 20 times. So I have to skip this one, but the cover looks really cool. And it is 4K.
If shelf space is a problem, that's a big thing for me. Well, I do prefer individual cases, but after a while when you collect so many movies, your shelf space comes limited. You can buy a, I can't remember what it's called. It's a collection pack, but it has every single Alien film to date, even the most newest ones with, what's it called? After Prometheus. Covenant? Yeah, wasn't there two after Prometheus, or was Covenant after Prometheus?
Covenant's after Prometheus.
Okay. Yeah, everything has every single one of them in a nice little steelbook size case. So, me personally, I recommend that over the 40th 4K version, just because you'll get everything for cheaper the price, or honestly, probably the same price. Let's just want 4K and then go for it.
Yeah, let's just really like that cover. Speaking of Shudder, we mentioned Shudder earlier. Shudder has got this now weekly series with Joe Bob Briggs, The Last Drive-In. Safe to say both of us have been enjoying it so far.
I've done the other second week, which I love it because I grew up with this kind of stuff. And basically when Joe Bob was on the movie channel, which was the drive, I think it was called the Drive-In with Joe Bob. Joe Bob's Drive-In. That was on the movie channel.
Yeah.
Then they went to TNT and it became Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs. And it's basically the same show. But I love it because it's nostalgia for me, because back then I didn't have a lot of friends, so I get to watch this really stuff, and it felt weird, like I was part of something, you know, in a weird sense. But it's just cool, man. I look forward to it every single week now. Well, they've done the first week, it was Chud and Castle Freak. This past week was Oh, man, what was it?
Q.
Q, the Winged Serpent, and Society.
Yep. And then the next one is...
They don't pre-announce.
I thought somebody announced a clue or something that was like a dead giveaway.
Oh, I must have missed it.
Maybe I'm dreaming it, dude. I don't know. We'll find out. Well, spoilers. We'll find out tomorrow. You guys won't hear this tomorrow, but whatever.
It's one reason. It's the main reason I picked up the Shudder streaming service, because they were doing that 24-hour marathon, which at the time was going to be it. But see how that turned out for the better good. But I discovered how much I really liked Shudder as a streaming service and all the stuff they provide. And if you'd like to see Joe Bob, you have to have Shudder. And if you want to watch Critters the New Bitch, which we're going to talk about, is exclusive to Shudder. See, I can't recommend Shudder enough, because it's worth it.
Yeah. And their customer service is top-notch. If you ever have to deal with them, you're going to walk away pleased. They're good. Are you a fan of American Horror Story at all, Eric?
I never really got into it.
So the thing I like about this show is, if you don't like one season, that's okay. Move on. Because every season is a different storyline. And they've had some characters that have been in multiple seasons. And then this past season, Apocalypse, actually combined events from two of the previous seasons. The first season, which was Murder House, and then the Coven season, which I think was the third season. Anyway, but that's atypical. Usually a season is kind of a self-contained thing. So if you just don't like it, you can move on to the next one and you know, it's all good. And the opinions of the different seasons are as varied as the seasons themselves. So I tend to lean more towards the ones that are more like classic horror. Like there's a season about Roanoke, and I really liked it because it felt like a hillbilly slasher flick kind of. This next season, Ryan Murphy revealed the theme, and well, kind of he released a teaser video basically on his Twitter that shows a girl running through the woods from a masked killer. She gets into a cabin and he stabs through the door and it cuts off. But basically it's saying the next season they played these little, the clip had these little letters and numbers at the bottom of the screen that spelled out AHS 1984. So the next season is what we're assuming is an homage to 80s slasher films, which that could be interesting. I do know that Evan Peters will not be on this season, so... That's the guy that plays Quicksilver in the newer X-Men movies. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, it just clicked my head. It was, sorry.
Yeah, he's been in like, I want to say every season except for this next one. So it's kind of interesting that he's not going to be on it, but you know, he's got other stuff to do too. So Emma Roberts will be back. That's basically all we know, but it looks like it's going to be an 80s slasher throwback, which... I'm a little tired of 80s nostalgia stuff right now, but I don't know. The teaser had me intrigued. I love slashers. So
it's getting oversaturated because that's the way it is. You know, things have success with certain things and everyone just milks bits, beats it to death. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'm going to watch it regardless. I mean, even if I don't like the season, I've enjoyed the series as a whole. So I'll definitely check it out. I think that comes out in the fall. More TV news. In 2020, there's going to be a third Walking Dead series launched. This one's going to have a female lead. I don't know any other details about it other than that.
Which they already did.
They did. It was good. It was Kim Dickens on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Now they're going to have... So Fear of the Walking Dead still a thing?
It is. She's... Spoilers, that character's dead. So, They killed off most of the original cast.
Wasn't that series supposed to meet up with the current Walking Dead series at some point?
I think that was a rumor, but... Well, it did, because Morgan left the regular Walking Dead and, like, walked across the country to the Fear the Walking Dead people, because they're, yeah. You know...
He went on Walker Walkabout, because that's what Morgan does.
He literally... That's literally what he did. He would just sit next to cars, and there was a weird little montage of him walking across the country...
Man, Zombie Apocalypse is depressing. It's basically what Morgan's doing the entire time. Well, they have that, and then they have... So this new one, and plus they're having movies of Rick Grimes coming too?
Yeah, there's supposed to be two Rick Grimes movies about what happens after. I'm assuming anybody that cares about Walking Dead is caught up probably more than me at this point.
Not me, but you're more welcome to spoil it because I'm pretty much done with Walking Dead.
Basically, the character is presumed dead by everyone else on the show, but he's really somewhere else. So they're going to make Rick Grimes movies to show what he's doing. I don't know what the point of it is.
I honestly don't see how the show is still going.
No.
It's repetitive. Like, we got a new show, and it's like, no, it's the same thing. It's repetitive in your storytelling, the baddies that get involved. It's basically the same things that's reused every season. And, like, just tune in for the mid-season, which I hate mid-season series finales. Just tune in for all those. That's all you need to see because most of it is just filler.
Yeah, and that show has had so many ups and downs, man.
Yeah, or character development episodes for characters that no one cares about.
That's true. Everybody cares about Rick.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone, I don't care so much. Anyway, okay, we can move on from that.
But, yeah.
We do have one other piece of TV news. Robert Englund is going to be hosting a show on the Travel Channel called Shadows of History.
Did it explain exactly what the show is going to be about? Like legends or, I mean, what?
Yeah, let me just read the quote here from Bloody Disgusting. Basically, the details we have so far, and they've picked up 6 episodes so far, so I guess that's the first season. That's typically what shows will do. In fact, Walking Dead, the first season of Walking Dead was 6 episodes. They didn't know how it was going to go.
Yeah, it's like a pilot of the whole season.
Yeah. Here's the quote. In each episode, England will track down the story behind a bizarre or mysterious account printed in an American newspaper in the past. He will enlist historians and scholars to get to the truth behind the reports. So it sounds like basically they're going to find, you know, crazy news articles and then try to, you know, read into them more with expert opinions and historical accounts.
So there's a good chance we're going to see the aliens man again from the History Channel.
Yeah, except it'll be Robert Englund. That's way better.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of excited about it. And we just got the Travel Channel today. That's the irony.
And this is not going to be Freddy Krueger, you know, discusses world history. So don't even think that. This is Robert Englund as Robert Englund.
Yeah, he definitely has a life other than Freddy Krueger. So he's been in some cool stuff as you know, without the burns on his face and the razor glove.
The Mangler is a good one.
Yeah.
And there's another one that involves a movie theater, which I can't remember the name of it. It's not The Editor. I think it's The Editor, maybe?
No. The Editor is an Astron 6 movie.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll figure it out at some point. It'll probably pop up later in the episode. Eating Alive is what I was thinking of. You know, Toby Hooper's follow-up to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He plays Buck, and he utters the line, "I'm Buck, and I'm here to fuck."
Jesus.
Which Tarantino copped that for Kill Bill.
He was also in V, the TV series. He wants Show Your Age. You want to acknowledge that one.
Show Your V. Just kidding. Wow.
Go that far.
Wow. No, what was that Razor commercial? Like Power to the V or something? Or?
Well, I must have missed that one.
I don't know.
Free your V. Shave here. Okay.
Free the V. All right. Yeah, we're way off topic. We got a little more news here, guys. We're trying to fill this one.
The last showing. Sorry.
A lot of news here. The last showing. Okay. Yeah. I've never seen that. Is it good?
I haven't watched it.
Okay.
The only reason I remembered it because a few years ago when the first time I got to meet Robert Englund and I asked him if he had any new projects coming up and he actually told me about that. It just popped in my head. Thank you, Facebook memories.
There you go. I remember him also being in, I think it was one of Toby Hooper's episodes of Masters of Horror called Dance of the Dead. Something where they were like shocking corpses and making them dance.
So they basically did an unofficial sequel to Weekend at Bernie's?
It's a little darker than that. Just slightly. I don't know. We need to watch that sometime. That was a fun show. I wish that show would come back. So good.
The horror show or Weekend at Bernie's?
Masters of Horror. Weekend at Bernie's ran its course. I feel satisfied with how that ended up.
No, we never got to see us. Well, never mind. We did get to see that. I was going to say, we never got to see a sex scene from Bernie. So,
Up next in the news, this one's a little weird. I sent this article to Eric earlier and I got kind of excited, and then I found out it's completely sold out. But for those of you who are big Friday the 13th fans, they filmed Friday the 13th Part 6. Jason Lives in Georgia, in a town called Rutledge. And there's a...
Where that is exactly?
No, I need to actually look that up.
I'll look that you talk about.
Okay. Essentially, what this company called Onset Cinema, the company is kind of famous for arranging screenings of films exactly where they were filmed. So they're going to show Friday the 13th Part 6 at the camp where they shot the movie, or at the park, rather, where they shot the movie. But here is the caveat. It's actually a 3-night camping trip, maybe a 2-night camping trip. Let's just say a weekend camping trip. How about that? August 9th through 11th. This thing sold out real quick because people are going to get to camp in cabins on bunk beds and do all the stuff you would expect in a Friday the 13th movie and at the location where Jason Lives was filmed.
Smoke pot, have sex. Great.
Die.
Yeah.
Where that red light goes, you bang. There you go.
At a Rutledge?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact distance, but it is about east of Atlanta. Do you know where Athens, Georgia is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's east of Atlanta and below Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
Makes a triangle. Perfect triangle.
That wouldn't have been too bad. Man, that'd be fun, though. I would love to do something like that.
Probably about a two-hour drive from us currently.
Apparently, they're thinking that the company is going to be scaring people, too, while they're there. So
that'd be cool. I mean, I don't want to be physically touched or anything, but it's like, I don't know, just maybe a photo op. It'd be cool though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wish we'd known sooner. That's the only thing. And apparently the company also has plans of doing a Shining screening at the Timberline Lodge in Oregon. They're going to do something with Beetlejuice, something with Scream, and something with the blob.
There's your new horror movie, The Blog.
The 2019 Blog. Beware of The Blog.
Same plot as The Stuff, only it's digital.
Yeah. We also love independent horror films on this show, especially good independent horror films. And if you go back a couple months and listen, we had an interview with Tony Wash that did Skeletons in the Closet. We also did an episode where we reviewed Skeletons in the Closet. And both of us really enjoyed it, and I'm pretty sure it made our top five for both of us last year. Well, Tony's got another movie coming out, and I actually had heard about this movie before I heard about Skeletons in the Closet, but, you know, things work out funny. He's got a movie with starring Sid Haig, called High on the Hog. It is, if you watch the trailer, it looks batshit crazy.
The trailer's kind of all over the place, but... Coming from watching Skeletons in the Closet, I'm definitely going to give it a chance because I really enjoyed Skeletons in the Closet. Plus, it's Sid Haig's in it, for crying out loud. So.
Yeah. Sid Haig, Ellie Church, Robert Zadar, Joe Estevez. There you go. Lots of good stuff going on there.
I was really surprised to see Robert Zadar in it. This I don't know if this is one of his probably his last films, but he's no longer with us. Is Robert Zadar was in a lot of 80s films. He was usually a lot of times a villain. He's well known because he has a very pronounced lower chin.
Maniac Cop.
Yeah, 1 and 2. I think he did 3 also.
It could be. I've actually never watched any of the Maniac Cop movies. Kind of a bummer.
Especially now.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, just what we can gather from the trailer and, you know, the articles and stuff. Sid Haig has a farm. He grows several crops. One of those crops is marijuana. He also has a lot of girls that live on the farm with him. I'm not sure what they're doing there. It's kind of like a halfway house, but it seems like maybe he's sleeping with some of them. I don't know. Whatever. There's going to be a shootout in the film. We know that from the trailer. And exotic dancers and Sid Haig with a shotgun. I'm excited.
I just kind of want Sid Haig, a soundbite of Sid Haig saying pack it tight so I can put it as like a text tone.
I think we can make that happen, dude. I was just reading some comments on there, on Bloody Disgusting's post there about High on the Hog. And
some of them are kind of dumb.
Ghost Shadow says, need to rip a fat nug on the bong before watching it. Smiley face, haha. Thanks,
Ghost Shadow. In his world, he must have thought that was hilarious.
He did. He ripped a fat nug on the bong before he posted that.
Well, excuse me.
Anyway, if you guys are interested in that movie, it comes out on 420.
Naturally.
Yeah. April 20th. You can go ahead and pre-order it in HD on iTunes for $10. I'm not saying everybody's going to love this movie, but I'm pretty excited about it. Actually, here's a note about that. We were talking about when the movie was actually filmed. It began production in 2012. So gone through a bunch of re-edits and things like that over the past 7 years. But yeah, check it out, guys. High on the Hog. You can follow them on Facebook and check out Skeletons in the Closet while you're at it, because that we both really enjoyed it.
Which I believe is currently streaming on Prime. I don't know if it still is.
I think it may be. And The Rake is as well, right? Tony's other movie.
So. I remember Tony posting something about it. So I believe they are. I have to look.
And one more indie film mention I wanted to do before we get into the critters meet here is the Never Hike Alone. It's the Friday the 13th fan film that is real good. Like, it's a really, really solid fan film. They have an Indiegogo campaign right now where you can get in on it to get a physical copy of the movie for about $20. It's a cool movie. We've both watched it. It's got a cool take on Jason. It's got a really cool hockey mask. And it's everything you could want in a kind of Jason stalker slasher flick. Better than the remake.
Yeah, the premise of the fan film is, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's basically like a YouTuber, does adventure type stuff, you know, mountain climbing, stuff like that. And he's filming himself on this hike across wherever valley, fictional place, but he stumbles across the Crystal Lake campground that's been abandoned and stuff. That's when he discovers other inhabitants of the lake. But it's really worth watching. I think it's, what is it, about an hour and 10 minutes long?
Something like that, yeah. I can't remember exactly. It's been a little while since I watched it.
But. Yeah, it's definitely worth watching, and it has some familiar faces in it too, which is really pretty cool.
Yeah, if you like Friday the 13th, I highly recommend it. I think the Indiegogo has another couple weeks, so just go on Indiegogo, search for "Never Hike Alone," and you can't miss it. Get you a physical copy with special features. I love special features these days, so. I highly recommend getting physical copies of everything you want to see.
It's still available on YouTube. Full HD. They put it out there. This is not for profit. And you can watch it before you buy it if you like it.
Yeah. Check it out. Try it before you buy. All right, man. So this one's your pick. Eric picked The Critters, the new binge. And it's very different.
Yeah. Hang on, man. I got Google Maps still pulled up here.
Find the location where they filmed. Well, it was in Canada. They filmed it in Canada.
So, Critters the New Binge. Yeah, it's a TV series. I honestly don't understand the development process. I don't know if this was made by Shudder for Shudder, because there's also a film being made, which I think Sci-Fi, or Sci-Fi, that's what they spell it now, is tied to. So, it's a little confusing to me. I don't really know the thing. But this is considered a sequel to the Critters films. That's what's called a very loose sequel. But the critters have returned to Earth searching for the lost crate that has been left behind. That's essentially how the series starts. Do you remember how the first episode went?
The first episode...
With the ship. Again, we're not going to spoil it, too. We're going to talk a little bit, but this is an eight-part series, and we're not going to spoil anything, so...
Isn't the first one where we established that the kid has an eating problem...
Well, I couldn't remember if you meet the kid first or you meet the Krites first. I can't remember how it opens up.
I think it's the Krites first, but you definitely meet both in the first episode.
Yeah, I think it is. They introduce the Krites flying their giant ball shape ship flying to Earth, and that's when they establish the plot. They're searching for the missing Krite, and these critters or Krites, they are like. They all have their own personality, which I like. Like, one is clearly the leader. He has an eye patch, and he's wearing those weird, you know, shoulder fuzzy, they're ranking, high ranking things that admirals wear. You know, I'm talking about, I don't know what they're called. Shoulder pad ones?
Sure. Shoulder pads. Let's go with that.
Yeah. It's stuff Napoleon will wear. And one is clearly like the scientist. One is, it's nice they gave him all their own personality. It's very cheesy. This whole thing is very cheesy, but it's fun. Wow. Sorry. Things are falling over. It's fun. It's fun and stupid and cheesy, but I enjoyed it. If you're going, I wouldn't call this is not as scary as the first one, you know, the first of the films, but it's not bad.
I don't think it ever got scary.
No, it was more humor. The gore and stuff is really good. And the Krites themselves look really good. But there's a lot of silliness that's like when you first meet the bounty hunters who are on their way to Earth to stop them from finding the lost Krite, it is very clearly that they are sitting in front of a blue screen and then they crash in Australia and then they just show them, it's like, we have to walk to their location, which is 900,000 miles away, and they start running in place, which is clearly in front of a green screen. It's like, so that's the level of quality. That's when you get confused. You can say, this isn't sci-fi to deal with it, because it's right out their alley.
Oh, the green screen thing was horrid.
Yeah.
Like, it was just very, very blatant.
But after you meet the Krites, it's when you're introduced to Christopher, played by Joey Morgan, and his best friend, Charlie, which I'm going to butcher his name, Bazua, B-Z-H-A-U-N.
You're on your own there, man.
Sorry, brother. But anyway, two friends going to school. It's kind of like a high school. It's very kiddish, so to speak. I guess they're in high school.
Yeah, it's just kind of stereotypical movie high school.
Like, but
the clearly defined jock, and he's always pushing the nerd around and making fun of him.
His mother, forget her name, played by Kristen Robeck. She has her son has an eating problem. She's always after about food. They meet. I don't want to go into that spoiling stuff because, again, these are very short episodes. The episodes, 8 to 10 minutes. Not everyone. They're all different. Some are 8. Some are 10. I think one of them is 6 minutes. But it's progressively over a course. It's about an hour watch. It's fun, cheesy. Have you ever seen a movie called Space Invaders?
No. I've seen the cover. I remember the cover.
So the whole time I was watching Critters and New Binge, I kept thinking about Space Invaders. It reminded me so much. It's like they pulled aspects of that, or someone did somewhere. There's a lot of similarities packed in the Critters world. But I'm just ranting out. What did you think overall? I mean, going into it,
I went in pretty anxious for this, because I enjoyed the original Critters. I was telling Eric before the show, I've never seen any of the sequels. So, I didn't know how. I assumed things went downhill after the first one, but this thing, for me, it's kind of a mess. It's one of those things. And we've had this kind of a lot lately, like Wacko and.
Yeah.
We've had a bunch of kind of weird movies that, like, the humor just didn't work really for me.
This falls into the same category as Puppet Master The Littlest Reich did.
Yeah. So, also starring Thomas Lennon, by the way.
True. But there's no creepy sex scene in the Critters New Binge. The Puppet Master, that they're low budget.
Wait.
What?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, but not with his character.
Right. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. The Puppet Master. All the Puppet Master films, they're a little cheesy, low budget, but they have a certain charm to them. And some parts were scary. And then when Little Rock came out, it's like they kind of missed some of the good things about it, which, you know, trying to make it their own, I guess.
Yeah.
But Critters, they took, it's like there's more humor than actual scare. Like, we'll put a lot of gore and some humor, and it's more comedy than anything else.
Yeah, it's definitely like 90% comedy. And some of it really just didn't, that's another thing, man. Like, So some of the humor didn't land with me, and things were like, we're not going to spoil anything on this show because this thing is real new.
Yeah, it does have an interesting twist to it. Now, I'll give it that. It is interesting. Me personally, I think it's a little silly. I think it's dumb, but it is interesting. I give them props for trying that.
I'm right there with you on it being silly.
But after this season's up, now this is considered season one, and they've already said they're going to do more. Like, how do you do more with that twist? Because that makes, I don't know.
Maybe it's like American Horror Story where every season is different.
I guess, but this is not the Critters I was expecting. The poster looked cool. I was like, really? Critters? Like, okay. But this is not, like I say, it's considered a sequel to the films. Maybe the first two. The kid who played Christopher, Joey Morgan.
Yeah.
I kept thinking the whole time as I was watching it, they mentioned his father. His mom is a single. He's a single mom. They're talking about his father left him. What was the kid's name? Scott Grimes. He played Brad from the first Critters movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, if they say Scott Grimes is his dad, I'll give this has made this remove my faith. That's a nice tie-in.
You know, little did you know.
Yeah. A little different.
Did you mention Gilbert Gottfried is his uncle?
Yes. Gilbert Gottfried is his uncle who lives in the basement.
Yeah.
Which Gilbert Gottfried, who's making that face throughout the entire movie, it's like, why am I in this? But he's one of the high points of this movie.
And he's constantly making like I think the problem with the humor in this movie is it's all the lowest hanging fruit you can find. Like, yep. Gilbert Gottfried is Uncle Morty or something like that. And he's supposed to be really old and crazy, and he lives in the basement. And he's
got something in a cage that he's trying to keep hidden from his family.
Yeah. And he's constantly asking for Viagra. Like, he's making Viagra jokes 3 or 4 times throughout the, you know, first couple episodes. I'm like, dude, you got to have something else. You're Gilbert Gottfried. You've done stand-up comedy for decades.
Yeah. It's worth watching. I'll give it that.
If you like Critters, like, if you like the little Kreitz,
they look great.
Watch the damn movie. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, the practical effects look fantastic, but the overall story, kind of silly, and a lot of the feel around to it to get to the plot, it's just dumb. I mean, there was an homage to Terminator and Terminator 2. That's,
Yeah.
Thomas Lennon plays Mr. Weber, I'm assuming the principal.
Yeah, he's a principal.
There's also kind of an homage to the Breakfast Club, and he did make one line. It's like, if anyone tweets one thing and he just kind of cracks his knuckle, crack me up.
No retweets. If you retweet.
If you want to see Thomas Lennon at the martial art top fight scene with the Kreitz, it's worth watching for that.
Yeah, that part was okay. I was good with that.
There's a sex scene flashback.
Oof.
Don't want to go into it because we'll spoil stuff, but it was very interesting. Just some, I mean, yeah.
There's a hot dog eating contest.
Which, I don't know why, they really just, that whole damn movie, they kept bringing up the hot dog contest.
Well.
Did you have any favorite, I know, we'll get the spoiler there, but what did you like at all about this? Did you like it? And would you recommend it?
If you're a diehard Critters fan, like if you bought the box set and you just can't get enough Krite in your life, go ahead and watch it. I didn't like it. I felt like, I don't know, like out of 5, I'd probably give it like a 2, which is kind of the score I give to things that I get through, but I don't ever want to watch again. Like if it's a 1, it means I couldn't even get through it. You know, a 2 is like, I got through it. I don't ever want to watch again. Didn't like it. So I'd say this is a 2 for me. I only recommend it if you're a hardcore Critters fan. Otherwise, or if you really like shit like Sharknado, like if you like this goofy.
Yeah, sadly, that kind of hits the nail on the head.
It's that new, like, we're making movies that are so bad, they're good kind of thing, like, which is not new, I realize, but, like, a lot of the old movies that are bad have a genuine charm, and the people who were making them, I don't think they wanted to make a bad movie.
No, that's the point.
Yeah.
People missing.
Yeah, now it's all tongue-in-cheek, like, and we're aware of it, you know, it's not the same. So unless you just really love, or like, there's even a poster, and I still haven't watched this movie, but the kid has a poster of Zombievers in his bedroom.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
And I thought, okay, this is going to set the tone for this movie for sure. If you just really like that schlocky over the top stuff, because it thinks that it's cool and hip to do that, like Sharknado, this may be for you. It's also really frustrating that you have to watch credits like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just make this one thing, but they released it in this weird webisode format. I mean, it's obviously shot on a budget, and I feel like a portion of their budget went to the crates, their effects, how they looked, which I'm thankful for. I think they look great.
Sure, yeah.
With the show, it's not bad. You know, if you aren't a fan of the Critter movies, and if you didn't, you know, I don't know. They start out with them being highly evolved, and they can talk more, and they have their own flying ships. I feel like there's a lot of stuff you need to fill that gaps, because none of that exists really well done in the movies. They're just there, you know.
And something I was reading said this was a reboot.
I hope not, man, because when you mentioned Sharknado, that's, now I think about it, that kind of, it's just Critternado, I guess. It's just...
Well, here's my thing, and I don't have anything to substantiate this. I don't think this was filmed for Shudder.
It might not be, because again, I'm confused, because I know there's a film being produced, but also this. So I don't really understand. I don't really understand who's supposed to get who.
I think this was being filmed for something else, and then Shudder's like, oh, we can afford that. It would be very odd for this to be Shudder's project. Just the way it's shot, especially. Man, you know this had to be filmed for a website. It had to be.
Well, it makes sense. But Shudder is unfortunately, not unfortunate, because Shudder's a great streaming service. It's the only place you can watch it.
And it may do well. I mean, I have no way of tracking the numbers for...
I've asked around, and it's been hit or miss. It's mostly people, they repeat some of the stuff. If you're a fan of the movies, don't go into it because you're not going to enjoy it as much. But it does have some enjoyable things. Like for me, the leader, Krait, has an eye patch and smokes a cigarette. And I own a Krait life-size prop. And I really want to put an eye patch on him now and have him holding a cigarette. So that's one thing I got out of it.
I just found a review on bloodydisgusting.com that's titled, "Even the Critters franchise deserves better than Critters a New Binge." that sums it up for me.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
It's not the worst thing we've watched on the show.
I didn't feel I watched a Critters movie or TV series. I felt I watched a very low-budgeted Critters web series. Yeah, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Because you can finish this entire series in less than, 60 minutes, just a hair over. Now, the twist ending, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who actually does want to watch this. The twist that they had put in this, I think, is stupid.
Yeah, it's bad.
Did I giggle at it? Yeah, a little bit. But again, I just think it's dumb.
Well, I was thinking about this. Like, any good twist, you have to kind of plant a seed so that when people are watching, like, oh... But in this one, they planted so many seeds that I was just like...
They're planting so many seeds I don't want to see grow.
Yeah, like no shit. The twist was a no shit moment. It wasn't an oh shit moment. It was a no shit. The twist is bad. The ending's bad. The critters are good. If we could just edit the critter footage together, you might be able to make something serviceable that's like 30 minutes long.
That's honestly the best scenes of the whole movie, is every scene with the Krites. They have banter between each other, which is funny because they have their under orders from now the President Krait, which there's a President Krait, which is still dumb. Anyway, they're under orders to not feast, and they're always chomping on people, and there's always banter, which that's funny. All the humor and enjoyment I got from this movie was all the scenes with the Krites. All the humans, not so much.
Yeah.
Well... Kristen Roebuck was another plus, but
it's tonally real weird too, right?
It is not on the same tone as the films for sure.
It's
literally tone for Sharknado. That's the same, almost the same tone.
So the guy who directed it did direct Zombievers.
What is his name?
Jordan Rubin. And I don't know. I still haven't watched Zombievers. Eric bought it for me on Blu-ray years ago. I still hadn't had a chance to sit down and watch it. I actually want to watch that because maybe that would be better. Because when you take a franchise, like, well, anything that's been around for a long time, like, say someone comes around, they're like, I'm going to do a new Gremlins. And they come in and they make a Gremlins movie that's completely serious and none of the creatures have personalities at all, you're not going to like that.
Well, maybe. It depends how they do it.
I mean, it depends, right? But, like, this is just kind of, you know, and I don't think you can take any of the Critters movies super serious, right? But this one is just, it's schlock.
If I put this movie next to Troll 2, which is considered one of the worst movies ever made, I would rather watch Troll 2 any day over this again.
Yeah, because they tried something, you know, they didn't grab the low-hanging fruit at every turn. That movie has charm to it because those people were trying real hard. This feels like phoning it in, kind of.
Well, you bring a point, and I was talking, I actually was talking about this with a few people who do listen to our show and brought up this point. They were talking about the...
Thank you for listening, by the way.
Yes, thank you, Joey. They were recommending, and his wife, Sarah, they were recommending movies to watch, and because they didn't know, they had Amazon Prime for many years. They didn't realize they could watch Prime movies. It just never dawned on them. They just used music and stuff. I said, no, you have access to an extremely large library of films that are you can access through Prime. Now, you can't watch everything, but they've been going down that Prime rabbit hole recently, and they've found so many of the precious jewels that I've come across, and you've come across also.
So much good stuff on Prime.
Yeah, with quotes in the air. But they've recommended a few things to me, and I've checked a few things out, and no offense, most of them are crap. It's just because it's that movie's like, we're trying to make a movie so bad, we want it to be good. And I was like, again, you're missing the point. Stuff in the day, back in the day, they weren't trying to make bad stuff. Just don't age well. I just had to work with the tools they got. And the stuff nowadays, I'm like, it's not for me anyway. I think it's terrible.
Have you ever seen the movie Ed Wood?
Yes.
Okay. Ed Wood made some of the worst movies ever made, but he never thought he was making bad movies, right? Like, he's always trying, and his movies just ended up being bad. It's kind of one of those things that's like, if you try your best, you know how you're taught as a kid, like, maybe you can't be the best at things, but you can try your best every time.
Yeah.
Like, if people just go with that, instead of like, and maybe I'm misjudging this. Maybe this Jordan Rubin guy just, he was trying his hardest and this is just what happened. I doubt it. It just doesn't feel, there's no soul to it. Troll 2 has a soul. Plan 9 from Outer Space has a soul. Are they good movies? No. But they have a soul to them and something unique. This just felt like commercial fluff, basically, to me. That's my problem with it. I don't like getting bored. Like, you know, I don't get a ton of time to watch horror movies anymore with the kids around. So when I do, I really don't like getting bored. And this kind of bored me. Like, it wasn't like at the end of every episode, I was like, oh God, I can't wait till the next one. I was like,
I was skipping. I was just grinding through it to get it over with, honestly.
And that's disappointing because both of us, you know, both of us like Critters, like the original. I just haven't seen the sequels, but I mean, they're cool. The bounty hunters always looked awesome.
The bounty hunters were one of the cool parts of Critters. This one is terrible. I mean, and the face morphing, it's a lot of that, just that bad CGI. It's like we're the bad green screen. So yeah, we're doing it because we want people to know it looks bad, you know, it just,
You like someone watched this before they put it out for us to watch. And they didn't say, this is bad. Like, and why do they even have to land in Australia? That made no sense.
They crashed there.
I know that, but like, just, okay, from a budgetary standpoint and from a storytelling standpoint, you could have done better than that. Like, they could have landed somewhere where they could have reasonably walked to this location. Because apparently once their ship crashes, they have to run. And they ran from Australia to... where was the story actually taking place? Like Midwest or something?
Somewhere in America.
You ran under the ocean?
Yeah, but they're running in place. That's the funny thing.
I get that as a joke, but I don't know. It just wasn't well. It wasn't well constructed. It's not smart.
Speaking of low hanging fruit, now if you've seen the trailer for this, the trailer's what got me. I'm like, oh, okay, that looks entertaining. I'll give it a try. Because I'm a fan of Critters. I watched it and like, oh man, this is not great. But there's a line in the trailer and in the movie it's more low-hanging fruit. I'm not really, because like their ship is shaped like a giant ball. And there's a news reporter, and this is towards the end, a news reporter is on camera. It's like, there's giant hairy balls just falling from the sky. It's like, oh, I get it. You're making a nut testicle joke. Get it?
Oh, yeah.
Funny. Yeah. If you're a fan of Critters and you're curious, check out the first episode. It's less than 8 minutes. So 8 minutes of your life. And if you want to go from there, more power to you. I say pass. I wish there could have been something better. If this is literally a reboot and where they want to go with it, then I'm good. This is Critters can live in its own world, and I'll live in my world where I have my little box set to go to.
I'll just keep watching Tremors movies. Screw the Critters.
Tremors was better than this. The latest Tremors movie. And it's not great.
Well, at least it had Bert back, right?
Because he doesn't know, like, to hang it up, I guess. But Tremors has fallen down the same path, too. But I don't know. You know what movie didn't do it, though?
What's that?
Leprechaun, the last Leprechaun movie. What was it? Leprechaun Returns?
Yeah, I think it's Returns.
Yeah, I don't want to get confused with the Origins because that movie's terrible. But
I get to meet that guy in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Hornswoggle?
Well, just tell him you love this movie.
I haven't seen it.
Leprechaun, don't. It's terrible. Leprechaun Returns was a reboot, and it went into it as a sequel to the first one. Tonally was almost on the same page, looked great, it was fun to watch. It's like, why can't you treat other things like that?
I enjoyed Leprechaun more than this.
Yeah, it's 10 times better.
I still didn't love Leprechaun, as you guys can hear back in episode, the one we did on Leprechaun a few weeks back. But yeah, it's better. It's way better than this.
It's shot better. There's not as many low-hanging fruit jokes.
Yeah.
And movies that rely on a lot of the dick and fart jokes, the really just like in your face, like, oh, we get it. That you automatically get stars taken away from me if I hear that kind of stuff.
There's some jokes that make no sense at all, but at least they're not. I mean, this is just like the Kreitz are just constantly saying, what a bitch and shit. And it's just like, all right, dude, my 12-year-old wrote this screenplay for you.
Doesn't it seem like that, though? It seems like someone was writing a script and they just kind of laughed to themselves, like, oh, man, this is going to be great. And it's like, oh, wait, right there, bud. You'll see. And then just run away.
100%.
Well, there's three co-writers on this. One was the director. I don't know. And I've... Zombie, right? Maybe I need to watch Zombievers. I kind of don't want to.
Isn't it streaming on something now?
I believe so.
It was streaming on Netflix. It may still be on Netflix.
Zombievers, Piranaconda, Dino Croc versus Super Gator, The Hills Have Thighs. Oh man, those are sounds like winners.
That's what Jordan Rubin has worked on?
No, that's one of the other screenwriters.
Oh.
John Kaplan and his brother Al Kaplan worked on the same thing. But these are movies that fall in the same kind of Sharknado type vein, so
The Hills Have Thighs is a 2010 American-made-for-cable erotic film written and directed by Jim Wynorski under the pseudonym Salvador Ross. Fantastic. Actually, I used to have HBO or something back in the apartment, and that movie popped up one time. I didn't get to watch it, but...
So, let me look at one last thing. I'm looking at some other movies that they've done.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing the timestamps, every single one of them. They're all just over an hour. Maybe they just don't know how to write make a 2-hour film or an hour and a half. Like I said, if you cut the credits, the opening credits and the end credits off each episode,
yeah,
it's less than 60 minutes to watch this entire Critter series one.
Jim Wynorski also directed Chopping Mall. Love Chopping Mall so much.
Which is better than this.
Hell yes, but oh my God, it's so much better. He did the Return of the Swamp Thing, too.
Oh, my favorite. Extremely cheesy, but it's my favorite Swamp Thing movie. But yeah, Critters New Binge. If you like Critters and are curious, check out the first episode. It's less than 8 minutes long. You can go from there if you fancy it. Me, I watched it. I don't have any desire to watch any more of it, especially after that stupid twist ending. And I am gonna watch my keep my eye out and try to find it more, because I heard there was a movie too. I don't remember where I read that. It could be wrong. So if there's a film, maybe there will be better. We'll see. Probably not.
Are you sure you're not mixing up with Child's Play?
No, I'm not. They legit. There was gonna. Let me do a quick Google search real quick. Maybe I was just wrong. Maybe this was the Sci-Fi Channel thing done for Sci-Fi Channel, and Shudder bought it. Maybe that's what it was.
I would believe this was Sci-Fi way before I would believe it was made for Shudder.
Well, there you have it, kids. Thumbs down, Corey.
Yeah, definitely.
Thumbs down from me. So we feasted enough on this. We're going to let the corpse rot.
Yeah. Throw that shit down the garbage disposal.
Which is a bummer. But again, there's four films out there that are 10 times better to watch. First two especially.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times we try to pick movies that we haven't seen before.
True.
And you never know. You know, we've both had some good, really good picks on here. And we've both had some really bad picks on here. And this isn't even the worst thing we watched. So, yeah. But it's not good. Don't watch it. Unless you, I'll say this. If you do want to watch it, if you're just that morbidly curious, watch the first two episodes. And if you're not profoundly moved by the first two, just stop. I would give it beyond just the first one, because I don't remember much of anything happening in the first one.
I completely forgot there is a Matrix homage in this too.
Oh, him bending backwards in the cafeteria?
Yeah. The film, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like, it's like a parody that's not really a parody. It's cheating. Like, they parody all this other shit. Ugh, it's just not good, guys.
I don't want to play shit on it. Again, the crates, all the practical effects, all that stuff, that looked great. My hat's off to everyone who worked on that. As the story, it's kind of silly. The bounty hunter is terrible. And all that green screen crap, stop it. Like, somebody needs to, like, smack somebody's hand. Stop it.
Stop it. Hey, you know what is good, though, Eric?
What's that?
My pick for next week.
Which is?
I'm getting discrepancies on the actual release date, so I'm just going to throw the IMDb date out there. It's 1981's slasher classic, Madman. We will be watching... This movie is... I'm pretty sure it's streaming on Amazon Prime if you guys want to check it out. But we will be watching the Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray release. It's 4K restoration. So many special features that are so good. There's actually a feature length documentary on the special features and an updated like 25 or 30 minute documentary. I think the longer documentary is a 30 year anniversary, and then the other one's a 35 year anniversary. So and then there's a lot of stuff. It's a lot. It's good disc to own if you guys are into slashers. But we'll give it a full review next week.
Just to go back to Critter for a second.
Sure.
Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi, is doing the Critters film, which is not this.
Okay.
This was not done by Sci-Fi.
So they may actually get a superior Critters product.
Maybe.
We don't know. Probably not. They had something good going on over at Sci-Fi with, Channel Zero? That was one of the coolest horror shows I've ever seen. And they canceled it.
I remember when the Sci-Fi Channel, when it was called Sci-Fi, and I really enjoyed it. Like, really enjoyed it. And then it got bought out by another network, and I can't remember. I think it was ABC. I can't remember. It's one of the big ones. And I seen totally change. Like, when they put SmackDown on the air, like, why is this on the Sci-Fi Channel? And then there were some reality shows that made no sense. Like, before they started putting some reality shows, they were based around interesting people. They had one, like, people like, I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, Sci-Fi has it in them to do some cool stuff if they just do it and stop canceling to put crap back on.
Sci-Fi is owned by NBC.
Well, that explains it, I guess.
And I know you're not a huge wrestling buff, but I think SmackDown being on there probably kept them alive for a while. I think that was one of their top rated shows. I mean, it has no business being on a Sci-Fi channel, but it is weird. Even though that's the show that The Undertaker was on, he does some weird shit.
Honestly, I I think sci-fi has kind of lost its lifespan. A lot of networks have. And we are getting in the age where streaming services galore. Like Shudder is dedicated to horror thrillers, that type of the focus. I would be okay paying for a streaming service that focuses on one genre.
Oh, yeah. Shudder's so good. And they're not a sponsor, but they're really good. Go check Shudder out.
And you can get a free trial also. We don't have a coupon code, maybe in the future, but I think they do a 7-day free trial if you want to check them out. It's worth it. You might dig it.
It's just by the year. It's totally worth it.
And if you watch Critters, the new binge, you know, tell us what you thought. What'd you think about it?
Yeah.
There is more coming because they have phase two is already, I don't know why they're calling it phase two, like Marvel, but that's coming. Season two, they've already announced it.
Eesh. Let us know what you think, guys. SpookyDudesPodcast@gmail.com. Facebook, we are Spooky Dudes Podcast. Instagram, Spooky Dudes Pod, I think.
You know, we didn't mention earlier, what? Which I completely forgot about. Did you know the Addams Family's coming back? Did you see the animated trailer for it?
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen the trailer. I saw some images, though. Looks awesome.
It looks pretty cool. I watched the trailer. It looks fun. I don't know if that's going to be a movie or a series. Either way, it looks fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll check that. I'm a big Addams Family nut. I'm into it. All right, man. That's all I got for this one. What do you think? Put a bow on it?
Yeah. We reviewed it. Yep. We came. We saw. We binged. We feasted. Speaking of reviews.
Mm-hmm. Ah, you know what, guys? Speaking of reviews, we would love for you guys to go out to Amazon. Or, okay, Jesus. iTunes.
Yeah, Amazon.
Amazon, anywhere you can write a review and mention Spooky Dudes, that would be fantastic.
But jokes aside, if you could go to iTunes and help us out and give us a review, whatever your opinion, your thoughts, your justification, whatever you think, it really would help us out and help us get to on the front page and discovered by more people, potential listeners. We would really appreciate it. It would help us out a lot.
Yeah, man. The more listeners, you know, the more... Really, honestly, the more content we can generate, if this could become a full-time gig, like if I could just leave my job and just full-time podcast, I'd make a shitload of podcasts.
While Corey is wishing in one hand and shitting in the other, if you have any ideas or movies you'd like us to review or talk about, let us know. Reach out to us through various social medias. You can hit us up on the gram at Spooky Dudes or Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, we do. Or if you just want to talk, hey, drop us a line.
Absolutely. We would love to hear from you guys. Anything. Let us know. All right, Eric. Thank you, dude.
See you guys next week. It's going to be a mad one.
Yes. Yes. Get ready for Mad Man. Going to have a lot to say about that one. And this is maybe our longest episode yet. So let's not make it any longer. All right. Thanks, Eric.
See ya.
All right. Keep it. Shit. I'm messing the lineup. Stay spooky, my dudes.
Hey, this is Mike. A few months back, I was given the assignment of creating a new promo for the Air Station 1 podcast. I figured I had a ton of time, but I kind of got distracted. Go figure. And we realized we had somehow missed our deadline. Hi. So here I am late at night trying to figure out something creative to get you to listen to our show. I guess I could just use my announcer voice. Listen to the Air Station 1 podcast. For almost 9 years, we've been bringing your inner geek out to play. We are a founding member of the ESO Network, and you can find us up on most media players like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. I think that might work.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Spooky Dudes Podcast. Beep. Yeah.